Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Overthrows podcast. I'm your host, Piram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudev1. And we're going to be previewing Sri Lanka's upcoming two-match test series at home versus New Zealand in this particular Overthrows podcast. And I mean, Estelle, if we look at both teams, Sri Lanka, of course, lost the series in England 2-1, but they are coming off a win at the Oval, right, which was historic. And New Zealand are coming from Greater Noida, where the game was abandoned with Afghanistan due to both bad weather and terrible facilities. So it's quite the contrast, isn't it? Because Sri Lanka are warmed up and New Zealand haven't played since February.
Yeah, I was about to mention, like, not only was the test against Afghanistan abandoned, they haven't played test cricket since February, so they're coming off a pretty long break. I suspect they would have wanted to have the game against Afghanistan just as a to get a measure of how things are going to be and maybe finalize some remaining spots in their playing 11, right? But it's going to be interesting coming into this series because New Zealand have, at least in the recent past, been pretty competitive in Sri Lanka. I mean, the last time they were here was in 2019 and they leveled the series 1-1 against Sri Lanka and they won a game which was, I think, probably just 3 days worth of cricket. But Sri Lanka didn't seem like they understood the result could be gained. But New Zealand obviously went for it and were able to win in conditions that people weren't expecting them to win. So they've been good in Sri Lanka. They've beaten Sri Lanka in New Zealand in their most recent series in 2023. So I think although they will be kind of dissatisfied that they didn't get that warm-up or that test against Afghanistan, they'll also be quietly confident because they've got the kind of the team makeup to compete in these type of conditions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we'll get to all of that fun stuff. But of course, you know, test cricket these days, you know, is such that there are long breaks in between. And because New Zealand haven't played since February, it's not ideal for them. And it must be really frustrating that, you know, their game versus Afghanistan got abandoned because that could have been pretty decent, you know, practice for the Sri Lanka tour. And I mean, who's to say they could have even won that game, right? Because if the conditions are spinning, maybe Afghanistan would have been in with a shout. But, you know, you mentioned New Zealand's last tour to Sri Lanka, which was in 2019. Sure, they, you know, tied the series 1-1, but they won the second test by an innings. And this is, you know, a venue or Sri Lanka is a place where Kane Williamson enjoys to play, right? He really scores a lot of runs over here. So that must be something that Sri Lanka would be looking to quell.
Yeah, I mean, against England, obviously the focus would have been on Joe Root, right? And it seemed like things didn't really pan out until the last test of the three-test series where they were able to kind of work around him. And I'm told that they had a conversation with Lasith Malinga just prior to the test. So maybe that helped. But certainly in this series, the focus will be on Kane Williamson. Because like you mentioned, he's done really, really well against Sri Lanka. I'm just looking at his numbers. He has 12 tests and he's averaging 78, right? So that is like, you know, his career average is great, 54.98. nearly 55, but 78 against Sri Lanka is pretty incredible, right? And in Sri Lanka, the numbers are not that great. So that's the only, I think, the only kind of thing Sri Lanka can take out of it is that in Sri Lanka, he hasn't done that well. His average is only 26, right? So he will definitely be the one Sri Lanka will be focusing on. But if you look at that lineup again, right, they've got the players, they've got kind of personnel who have played a lot of subcontinental cricket. I mean, obviously in different formats, but they've got that kind of experience that can pull them through. They've got the likes of Glenn Phillips, who can be really dangerous in that middle to lower order. They've also got the spinners to kind of go almost equal to Sri Lanka, right, in that sense. So I would be expecting the focus to be on Williamson, but Sri Lanka would also want to kind of keep their eye on the others because, again, this team can really perform well in these conditions.
It's interesting that you mentioned how Kane loves to play Sri Lanka but doesn't love to play in Sri Lanka, right? That's a really, you know, important point to consider over here, because it's not easy to play Sri Lanka in Sri Lanka. They're always a super competitive side at home. But when you look at that New Zealand batting lineup, right from the start, you've got Conway and Latham, which is quite a solid test match opening pair. You've got Kane at first drop, then the likes of Daryl Mitchell, Glenn Phillips, Rachin Ravindra, Tom Blundell is pretty good with the bat as well. A lot of these guys are pretty good players of spin, right? That's what kind of stands out, and it puts them in good stead, I feel.
Yeah, that's what I meant by the conditions, right? Because you have to understand that cricket is not how it was maybe a decade ago, where you would have teams come to, you know, teams from conditions like New Zealand come and struggle in spin-friendly conditions. But that's not necessarily the case anymore, because you've got players playing around the world, whether it's different formats. Again, it doesn't matter, right? It gives them kind of that grasp of conditions in those areas. And like you said, they do handle spin well. And they're also kind of aggressive batters. So it'll be interesting to see also how Sri Lanka go about things, because if you look at Gaul's record and Prabhat Jayasurya's record in Gaul, it's been exceptional, right? And it's been extremely conducive to spin. But Sri Lanka's last win and their most recent series was dominated by the fast bowlers for Sri Lanka. So they do have they do have depth there. And I think that is one thing that I'm very interested to see what happens with the playing 11, because to me, it might even be worth the gamble. Sri Lanka never play the three quicks, right? In Sri Lanka, usually they play one quick and maybe three spinners. But it might actually be worth the gamble playing three quicks when your second spinner, you don't really know who your second spinner is. And that is, I think, one of Sri Lanka's biggest question marks going into this series, because they didn't need to answer it in England, obviously, with the conditions not being that conducive to spin. Prabhat Jayasurya will start, but if they want to play a second spinner, who is it that they need to include? Because Ramesh Mendis's form has not been great with the ball. He's been very inconsistent. And the only other pure spin bowler in that squad is Geoffrey van der Zee. So he hasn't played a lot of test cricket either. So do they go for, you know, the untested or the tested and unsuccessful? Or do they stick with the fast bowling battalion, which has done really well in the recent past?
It's a very interesting conundrum that I suppose Sri Lanka find themselves in. But, you know, of course, we know that Prabhat Jayasurya has wreaked havoc at Gaul. And I feel like there was a time where he had, like, what, 50 wickets in Gaul or something in not a lot of games. That's the stat I remember. But you mentioned how, you know, of course, while he is a key weapon, he might be, you know, left to do with too much, and they might be depending on Prabhat Jayasurya a lot. Now, I watched Ramesh Mendis play Pakistan last year, and while he can, you know, provide some depth with the bat, I wasn't entirely sold on his bowling. Geoffrey van der Zee has been around for eons and very recently played a critical role in that ODI series win versus India, but of course, different format. Now, do you see all three of them playing? Do you see two of them playing? How do you see the lineup to be constructed? Because, you know, one spinner cannot go into the Gaul test. That much is, you know, we can be sure about that. But there is a world in which all three play, and then there is a world in which two play. I feel like Sri Lanka would be more tempted to play Ramesh Mendis if they play just two to strengthen the batting. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, the thing is with Ramesh Mendis is that he had a really great start to his career, right? He had a really good go of things in Test cricket early on. But it feels like, and I know this has been a topic of discussion for a long time in like Sri Lankan Test cricket, he seems to have lost something to do with his action, or seems to have, there is some technical problem that he is going through. We don't know if it has been mended over the last couple of months, obviously, because Sri Lanka hasn't played Test cricket, right? Apart from those England series. So we don't know if things have been mended, but he is, or in the last 12 months or so, he has shown himself to be a guy who is not consistent. And that might be a major problem for Sri Lanka, particularly in conditions like this, where, as you mentioned, the Pakistan series, right? If you are not, you know, on the money all the time, you can go for runs. And there's plenty of runs to be had in Gaul. So that will be the major concern with Ramesh. His action seems to be a problem, like the repetitiveness of whether he can bowled with the same action again and again and again, right? That seems to be the problem. I would, to be honest, be tempted to play Jeffrey Vandersay. Vandersay hasn't had a run in Test cricket, right? He's played one Test so far, right? But he does seem like, if you look at the modern crop of kind of wrist spinners, of you've got like the Vyas Khans and you've got Vanidu Hasaranga, and if you look at the other spinners Sri Lanka have in their kind of squads, you've got Mahesh Teekshana, you've got a lot of limited overs bowlers, right, who are very unorthodox. They don't really spin the ball much. They're quick in the air, right? Vandersay, in my opinion, is more of an orthodox leg spinner. He gives the ball flight and he's not overly reliant on the wrong one, as we've seen so many of those other top spinning leg spinners, right? So we haven't seen him in Test cricket to judge whether he would be a good fit. I think when he was kind of getting into the Test setup, he had a few disciplinary issues and then kind of fell off the radar. His FC record is not bad. He's got 270 wickets at 28.19, so not terrible.
That's pretty good. If you were a leg spinner in red ball cricket and you were averaging under 30, I'd say that's a fantastic record, right? And Jeffrey Vandersay has been doing this for quite a while as well. He looks young. He's not that young. He's an experienced campaigner. But sorry, complete tangent. But isn't Hasaranga unretired from Tests?
Hasaranga is unretired, but he's not in contention to be selected, obviously, because he's not. He's not in the squad. Vandersay, like I said, Vandersay would be my pick if they're not going for the extra pace bowler, because I had a lot of faith in Ramesh Mendis. But it seems like there's just something he needs to fix in his action and in his rhythm, which could hurt Sri Lanka if he doesn't have it. And batting depth, actually, that's a really good point, because I feel like if you look at the England Test, the only reason Milan Ratnayake played all three was because he got that 70 in the first game. I mean, they would have been sorely tempted to go with someone like Kasun Rajitha, right? Because he's obviously the more experienced and he's got the better record. But Milan Ratnayake looked so good with the bat. I feel like they just felt they needed to have that kind of assurance at number 8. Hopefully, in home conditions, they don't feel the same need and they look for a more aggressive option. But yeah, that's the one kind of spot. It's very interesting to see where Sri Lanka will go with things, because it's kind of been chopping and changing a bit in the last couple of games. So it's difficult to pin down what will happen.
If you love cricket on a deep spiritual level and want to be involved when no matches are being played, we have the game for you. Hit Wicket is so good that Harsha Bogle and me have backed it. And that's a lot of nerd energy behind one game. This is a strategic game of cricket, and it's not just about whacking your screen really, really hard with your finger. This isn't a game where you swipe all around to try and hit the ball. You work out what works best based on real-life cricket situation. For instance, dot balls bring pressure. Ones and twos lead to fours. There is no way you can just hit a six every ball or take wickets all the time. This is proper cricket, yet it still has some special gaming powers in there as well. And so this game is about playing, but also building and managing your team. You are the batter, bowler, owner, coach, captain. It's your dream, right? And there are no ads. It's just cricket. Download Hit Wicket now and bring out the cricket legend in you. Because Hit Wicket is a cricket game made for you and supported by other cricket nerds. Stick it in your pocket today.
You know, when you get 5 tests in a row, much like Sri Lanka have over here, it's easier to try different things. Because when you get that isolated 2-match test series, you're like, why or how can we change things so much? Because, you know, you want to give the team a bit more continuity. But Sri Lanka are lucky in that sense that they've got these 5 tests, you know, together. So I'm not entirely opposed to them trying different things. Plus, you mentioned the seamers, right? Now, of course, Sri Lanka are blessed with so many currently, like Chamira and, who else do we have? Madhushankar didn't even make the squad, right? You've got the two Fernandos, Asatha and Vishwa. You've got Lahiru Kumara, who's done really well in England as well. And Asatha Fernando was pretty much the MVP. Vishwa had a fantastic game at the Oval. That spell was, telling, kind of turned the game around. And then Milan Ratnayake is there as well. They've kind of gotten rid of Kasun Rajitha from the squad. Mm. Now, you obviously are feeling ambitious and want them to play three seamers. But let's say that that doesn't happen and they only stick to two, right? Which is probably the obvious outcome. Of course, I would love to see a world in which they go in with three seamers. That would be very, very new. But who would you pick? The two Fernandos, or would you make room for Lahiru Kumara because he's a bit of an enforcer?
I think you have to make room for Lahiru Kumara, don't you? Given the way he did in that last test against England, I feel like it has to be Asita and Lahiru.
But what about the fitness issues that you were mentioning to me, Estelle, that he always has these, you know, moments where he breaks down in home tests, and then that leaves too much for the other bowlers to kind of do?
Yeah, so that will be the biggest concern, in my opinion, because you've been burnt before by Lahiru Kumara, right? He's coming to games, he's been taken off on the first day, and then you've got this massive burden to bear for the others. But given how he bowled, you see, the thing is, with players like Lahiru Kumara, and I'm not sure how many people will agree with me, but I think with players like him, sometimes the risk is worth it because they offer so much, right, in terms of their ability to kind of crack a game open. They offer so much. So I would be tempted. I would go with Kumara. And I know I said the opposite before the England test because he was kind of unproven in the last couple of months. But I think given the rhythm he showed in England, you have to go with him in that test and hope that he can stay fit. Because if he does, in conditions in Gaul, he's going to be a massive factor because I'm sure there's not going to be nothing on offer for the quicks, right, in terms of, you know, movement off the pitch. Mm. So he will be a key player for Sri Lanka if he does play.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. We've obviously discussed two different permutations over here. There is one permutation in which Van der Sar, Mendes and Prabhat Jayasurya are partnered up by two seamers. And those two seamers, as per Estelle, should be Asita Fernando and Lahiru Kumara. I don't think I disagree with that either. And then there's, of course, the ambitious permutation in which you've got the two Fernandos, I'm assuming, with Lahiru Kumara. And then you've got Van der Sar and Prabhat Jayasurya. The batting is quite light in that particular permutation. But, you know, Test cricket is all about taking 20 wickets. And maybe, just maybe, Sri Lanka go with that. I'm seeing some comments over here. And by the way, shout out to Krishna Srinivasan, Vamsi Krishna, SAG, Revanth Naya, Navari, Yuvishant, Dharmalingam, Ako, and Varun, of course, is also over here. So thank you guys for joining. And Krishna has brought up a point with respect to the forecast. He says that he has heard that rain is expected on all 5 days in Gaul during the first test. So is this another test match then threatened by rain still?
First of all, Gaul hardly ever has a draw. I can't remember. I think there was one very recently. But for years and years and years, you don't have draws in Gaul. Because even if it rains, conditions are so that you can get something out of the game. Secondly, this is a six-day test.
Oh, right. Of course, rest days are back.
There is a rest day in the game. So you have a longer period of I mean, obviously, they're not going to play on one of the days. So technically, it's a five-day test, but stretched over 6 days. So there will be, you know, enough time, I think, to get a result out of it. It is raining in Sri Lanka, but not continuously throughout the day. So I don't think weather will be too much of a factor. I mean, I don't think it'll have an impact in, you know, the result of the game, in the sense whether it'll be a draw or not. I think we'll get a result out of it.
Yeah, I sure hope so. All right, let's come to Sri Lanka's batting. And I really want to discuss the top three with you. Of course, Nishan Madushkar has gotten axed from the side. You could say a touch too harsh as well, because it wasn't too long ago that he was scoring runs and they were giving him opportunities. And I mean, given Pathum Nisanka's heroics at the Oval, you'd have to say that it's almost a guarantee that he's going to be opening the batting with Karunaratne. And I personally, now don't jump the gun on me, Estelle, but I personally would not mind to see Kusal Mendes play an attacking role at first drop, much like he did at the Oval. I know that you probably don't feel the same way about this, but just think of it for a second. If he goes out there and just puts some pressure back on the opposition, he's already not scoring any runs. If he gets 30, 40, maybe 50 some days, I feel like that's not the worst strategy.
I understand what you're saying, right? And I think definitely the style in which he should play test cricket is probably that now, right? Because he seems to have adjusted his game to limited overs to a degree where he's really struggling with, you know, staying in and, you know, kind of playing that stereotypical test role at number three. But we've heard now that, according to the selectors, that he might possibly take the gloves and bat low in the order, and we might see a change in the batting order because Dinesh Chandimal is not fully fit to keep. So I don't think he will play at three, even if what you suggest is, I think it's a reasonable thing. The problem with Kusal Mendis is that he's been given the opportunity to do things any way he wants, right? But he hasn't seen success against good teams over the last couple of years. I mean, no disrespect to the likes of, you know, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Ireland. But if you want to be considered as one of the better players in the side, you need to be making runs against the better sides, right? And he hasn't been able to do that over the last couple of years. I think he might slot in lower in the order, but then the question arises as to who bats at three, right? Because that's a pivotal position, and whether you want to push the new star in Sri Lankans' eyes, Kamindu Mendis up to three is a question mark.
I mean, I am totally in favor of pushing Kamindu Mendis up the order. Like, seven is not the number for him. Or even eight, I feel. He's batted at eight at times. I feel like he is a four or five player. Three might be a touch too high for him, though. I don't know. Why would you want to throw someone who is doing so well at the deep end right away when you have other options? Like, there's also another permutation in which Oshada Fernando comes in as opener and Nisanka drops to first drop, right? Like, there are lots of things you could do over here.
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing, right? Oshada Fernando had a really good run in the first unofficial test against South Africa, in South Africa. He made 180 and Sri Lanka won that game. And he was immediately flown down to Sri Lanka to join the squad, right? The problem with including him is then you have to decide between Chandimal and a wicketkeeper, right? And I don't think that's going to happen because Dinesh Chandimal with the bat, as a pure batter, has been one of Sri Lanka's best over the last couple of years. He's made runs against everybody. And I don't see them, you know, looking past him as a batter. It's a wicketkeeping role that they are probably looking at. So you will probably have Pathum and Dimuth right at the top. Number three, we don't know. And then, of course, you'd have Dinesh Chandimal, you'd have Angelo Matthews, you have Dhananjay Silva, Kamindu Mendis. And then you have to decide, do you play Kusal Mendis or do you give Sadhir Samaravikrama a go with the gloves batting at number seven, right? So, Oshada Fernando, as well as he's done, I don't think this series is when he gets the opportunity to play, at least not in the first game, because of that wicket-keeping kind of conundrum they are facing right now.
Yeah, of course, because Chandimal very recently hurt himself. And you know, when you've got other keepers, you would be tempted to kind of play them. I feel like they're going to go with Mendis. And I feel like maybe after the first test, you and I will be having a conversation about this very subject once again. Anyway, moving forward, we obviously discussed how New Zealand's batting is quite strong. There's some big names in there and they are also good players of spin, which augurs well for New Zealand. But in terms of spin bowling options, right, New Zealand's frontline spinner is Ejaz Patel. And then you've got Bracewell and Santner for support. Now, I don't see all of those guys playing together, Estelle, because, you know, you've got cricketers like Glenn Phillips and Rachin Ravindra, you know, in New Zealand's ranks, who add a lot of batting depth as well. More batting depth than Bracewell and Santner, basically, because those guys can bat as well. So, you know, do you feel like this spin bowling attack can make a massive dent? I mean, Ejaz Patel did take 10 wickets in an innings versus India. But, you know, can he do it at Gaul? I'm not sure because, look, New Zealand have Saudi and Matt Henry, right, as their seamers. Ben Sears is in the squad, but I don't think he's going to play. Apart from those two, you've got Ejaz Patel. You will need some more frontline bowlers, and a lot of these options don't scream frontline to me as far as the spinners are concerned.
That's another question, right? It's similar to Sri Lanka's problem with the second spinner. I think New Zealand also have a question mark over that position in the side. I do think their second spinner is probably better than Sri Lanka's options at the moment, because they've got Santner and Bracewell, right? And they've got... They've got Sri Lanka's favorite son, Ranganeherat, in their camp as well. Kind of, you know, helping them understand the conditions there. And left-arm spin has always been successful in goal, right? So I feel like they will go with two, and they'll go the two spinners, two fast bowlers route, because pretty much they bat until 11, right? They don't have a proper tail ender in that side, so they can opt for the extra spinner and still kind of have that depth with the bat.
Also, just to throw this out there, that they used Glenn Phillips with the ball quite a lot in Bangladesh, right? And he did find some success as well. So I think they would be encouraged to try that again, which means that there will be two more spinners in addition to, of course, Saudi and Henry. Yeah. One of those spinners is Ajaz Patel. Mm. We know that. The other spinner could be Bracewell, could be Santner, could be Rachin. Nah, it wouldn't be Rachin. I don't see Rachin making it. But yeah, I feel like if Ranganeherat is a part of, you know, the management with the New Zealand men's team, then maybe that bowler is Mitch Santner.
Yeah. The question then is, do they want to play the two left-arm spinners? Or do they want to throw Bracewell in as kind of the off-spinning option? I would think they would go with Santner as well, mainly because Sri Lanka don't have that many. They have two left-handers, right, in their top seven. I'm remembering it right. Yeah, they've got Kamindu and they've got Dimuth, right? So they don't have that many left-handers to kind of think of the matchups and want to have an off-spinner. So between Bracewell and Santner, possibly Santner would find it easier to adapt to conditions in goal, because like I mentioned before, they're guys who played a lot in the subcontinent, even if it's T20 cricket, right? So I would expect Santner to play. He was, I think, the sole spinner for them the last time they played which was in February. I think they had four tests against South Africa and Australia, and Santner was the sole spinner in the side. So I think they'll go in the same route. They'll have the two left-arm spinners to counter Sri Lanka's right-handers, and then get a few overs of Glenn Phillips as well.
You want to swing wildly at the internet like you've got the new pill in your hand, but you keep getting dead-butted. Find the movement you want with NordVPN. They are our protection against terrifying cyber threats and wide-batted geo-blocks. NordVPN will help you get through any rights restrictions so you can watch all the cricket you want. We aren't always happy with the wickets we're on. Sometimes we need a change. NordVPN can switch your virtual location so your IP address is ready to cash in. So if you need to get around the internet's rules, or I suppose in our case, laws, select NordVPN. They can help you watch a game on a cheaper stream in another country. Give NordVPN the ball and let them penetrate all your vast internet issues. Because if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus four additional months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. You can also receive a 20GB daily data voucher. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a big hitter is coming for you at nordvpn.com/KIMBER right now.
Yeah, there's also William O'Rourke in this side, and he was successful, I believe it was that South Africa series, and then Australia as well, he had some success, but of course South Africa were playing their D team, and when you have Saudi as captain, you can't not play Matt Henry. Yeah. So I think those guys, like that fast bowling quartet, only two will play, and the two kind of pick themselves over there. But yeah, I'm very interested to see whether they go for Bracewell or Santner. My pick is Santner, and I would not worry about the two slow left-armers thing. I mean, like you said, it's not like Sri Lanka flooded with left-handed batters. So yeah, I think New Zealand's strengths are quite big, actually. Good players of spin, some very, very decorated players in there. Kane's record in Sri Lanka is a bit of a worry, but you've got other players to kind of pitch in. And they've got a bowling attack that maybe, you know, cannot strike instantly, but is still capable of taking 20 wickets, right? So yeah. I feel like it's going to be a very evenly matched series in that regard.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, like I mentioned before, a lot of people or a few people tend to kind of think that teams like New Zealand will struggle in conditions like this. But they've got the experience under their belts now to be competitive. And like I mentioned, in the recent past, they've been good against Sri Lanka, right? And not to forget, Sri Lanka hasn't been great at home either. I mean, they lost to Pakistan in similar conditions where, you know, they felt like the conditions were flat, but they weren't able to pick up wickets. And Pakistan was able to run through the Sri Lankan side, right? So I think New Zealand are going to be really dangerous. I'll be very interested to see how this series goes, because it does have an impact on the World Test Championship as well, right? Because both are still in contention of making that final.
Yeah. And if either team wins both test matches, right? They need to win both, whoever wins this series. Then they are mathematically in with a shot at making the World Test Championship final. Of course, New Zealand have to go to India and Sri Lanka have to go to South Africa. And a lot more hard work will be required. But both of these teams would be eyeing a 2-0 win, because that's what they need. A 1-1 stalemate would kind of screw both teams over.
Yeah, it would. I mean, Sri Lanka have already dropped points that they shouldn't have dropped at home, right? Like, if you look at the World Test Championship, the one big key is win your games at home, and you can't allow for draws anymore, right? Because every point counts. So they've already dropped games to Pakistan. So they won't want to go down. They'll be kind of, I hope at least, they'll be completely focused on winning both games, because I mean, no one would expect it, but Sri Lanka in both cycles, in the last cycle and this, deep into it, they're still quite almost they are in the top two, right? They're still in contention. So they'd want to make the most of home conditions. But again, New Zealand coming to Sri Lanka have a strong team. You expect them to do well. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if they went on to win 1-0 or 2-0. But I think Sri Lanka's batting should give them the advantage or give them the upper hand in this series, because yes, they're familiar with conditions, but also you've got guys who've been in the runs over the last couple of months, right? So that will be an advantage for them, I think.
Oh, it promises to be a scintillating test series, and two nations who I've always like felt very warmly towards. You know, whenever these two teams are playing against another team, you kind of always want to support them. And when they play against each other, it's like everyone wins in a way. But anyway, let's wrap this podcast up with some predictions, Estelle. I usually just do scoreline predictions, but I thought maybe for these previews, let's do highest run scorer prediction and highest wicket taker prediction as well. I'll go first. My prediction for the series is very dry. It is 1-1. I feel like both teams will win a test match each. And then highest wicket taker, I'll go Prabhat Jayasurya. Highest run scorer, I will go... that's a tough one, man. Let's go Tom Latham.
Okay. That's a random pick. But I think I'm also inclined to go with a 1-1 series result, right? Because, like, I mean, I've been seeing New Zealand's praises all through this pod. I think it'll be really close. Even if it ends 2-0, I think both games are going to be really close. Highest wicket taker, it's very difficult to look past Prabhat Jayasurya, because even if Sri Lanka lose, he's probably going to be there. Highest wicket taker, right? And you get the feeling that New Zealand's wickets will kind of be shared amongst all the bowlers. So I'll say Prabhat, and I'm going Kane Williamson as highest run scorer. I think he's going to turn his fortunes in Sri Lanka with the bat.
That would be really, really interesting, right? The only reason why I didn't pick Kane was because, Estelle just told me he averages 26 in Sri Lanka. So I'm not going to pick Kane. But anyway, to all of those of you who were watching this or listening in, let us know in the comment section below what you think will be the scoreline of the series and who you think will be the highest run scorer and the highest wicket taker. And thank you once again to all of the people in the comments in the live show as well on YouTube. And that pretty much wraps up this podcast. Just a quick reminder for all of you, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. It can prove to be your one-stop shop with respect to all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, podcasts, or videos. And we'll see you soon for another Overthrows episode. That's all for now. Goodbye.
thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.